Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering.
Lucifer, for me, had certain Bannon-esque qualities.
He's the interesting character in Paradise Lost.
Rather reign in hell
than serve in heaven. Love that line. I use it all the time.
You do?
Oh, yeah, all the time. There's a lot of truth to that.
So that's filmmaker Errol Morris talking with Steve Bannon in a scene from Morris's latest documentary called American Dharma. Bannon, of course, was CEO for Donald Trump's political campaign, went on to serve as chief strategist in the White House in 2017. He was also executive chairman of Breitbart News until early 2018. So Steve Bannon styles himself as a warrior for the working class, kind of in the vein of war heroes in old black and white movies. But Morris didn't see him that way. He was in Studio 3 recently to talk about the film, and I asked him why make a film about Bannon in the first place.
I've done a lot of bad guys in my career. Badness, evil, whatever you want to call it, fascinates me.
When you started, you assumed he was a bad guy, an evil guy, when you reached out to him?
I assumed that he was responsible for one of the worst things that's happened in my lifetime, and that would be the election of Donald Trump.
When you finished your conversation with him, did you think he was a bad guy, an evil guy?
I thought he was a crazy guy.
So say some more about that.
If I know what's going to happen in an interview, I say to myself, well, why bother doing it? I do them because I hope to learn something. I don't know what. And I'm always looking for a different way in. Doesn't matter exactly what that way in, but it has to be different if you expect to get something that you haven't heard before. And my way in was through his obsession with the movies. In particular, a 1949 movie 12 O'Clock High starring Gregory Peck. Yes.
And so is that how you invited him? I mean, because one of the things that I wondered almost immediately as I was watching American Dharma was it hard to get him to say yes? He knows you. He knows your work. He talked about the fact that he knew your work. Did he want to do the interview or did you have to coax him into it?
He wanted to do it. He was flattered. He was flattered that I wanted to make a movie about him.
I want to pull a quote here for a second. This is, you compare at one point, and it is a little later in the film, but you compare Bannon to Lucifer in Milton's Paradise Lost, and he goes with it. Let's listen to that for a second.
I was reading about Lucifer in Milton's Paradise Lost, and I have to say that Lucifer, for me, had certain Bannon-esque qualities.
He's the interesting character in Paradise Lost.
Rather reign in hell
than serve in heaven. Love that line. I use it all the time.
You do?
Oh, yeah, all the time. There's a lot of truth to that.
So I'm watching and I'm thinking, as you're talking, I'm thinking, holy cow, he just compared Bannon to Lucifer and Bannon loves it. Now, you've said you went in thinking you came out thinking he was crazy. Who does he think he is? What do you think his image or his view of himself is?
My movies usually, I wouldn't say always, but usually are about some kind of self-deception. A person who imagines themselves one way, but we see them differently. Bannon sees himself in many ways as a classic Hollywood hero, but I don't see him as a hero. Far from it. And one of the central ironies of American Dharma is this comparison of himself with Gregory Peck, with General Savage. Here's a movie about our fight against Nazi Germany, against fascism. And then whatever it is, 60, 70 years later, he sees himself as that same kind of hero.
So he does really see politics as war. There's a really interesting quote where he says, This is War. I want to play that.
So this is war.
It's absolutely war. At that level of politics, it's war. You're fighting for control of the greatest country in the world. It's war.
You know, for centuries, we've compared war and politics, right? It's two things you're not supposed to talk about at the dinner table. Did he turn politics into more war than it was before? Or is he just a reflection of what politics has always been, right? Which is what a war by other means.
An impossible question, at least for me to answer. But does he see it as war? Absolutely. He uses endless war imagery. Trump is an armor-piercing shell.
Calls him a killer.
A killer. What this country needs, I, by the way, would beg to differ, is killers. We need less killers, not more killers.
There were several things that made me uncomfortable, some of which some I think you intended, and then some I didn't know if you intended.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you a little bit of both. One of the things I wondered, so my husband and I watched it together, and we had many conversations. We would pause and talk with each other and then watch some more.
I hope you started fighting.
We actually didn't. We had very similar views about it. But one of the questions that we asked ourselves was, does he think Bannon's telling him the truth? There are many stories that Bannon tells you of how things happened during the campaign in those early days at the White House. You know, decisions James Comey made about the intelligence briefing that he provided President Trump on Russia. Do you believe he was telling you the truth?
Well, I don't believe anybody I talk to, including yourself, I might add, forgive me, is always telling the truth. Part of our job, my job, is to figure out what's true and what's false. Do I think that Bannon is always telling the truth? Of course I don't. But what he's telling me is interesting and important and thought-provoking.
There were a couple of places where you talk about the metaphor of the films that you use. It was part of the way that you attracted him to have this conversation. And it was a conversation to some extent. One of the things that struck me was, and you said this is to some extent, there's a story of self-deception here, was his lack of awareness that the people that he was idolizing were this traditional military or cowboy white male mentality. We had John Wayne, we had Gregory Peck, we had Alec Guinness in Bridge on the River Kwai. And he didn't seem aware that he was idolizing something that was awful for a lot of people. And I didn't hear you point that out to him. Did you want to make him aware, and should you have pushed him on the fact that what he was idolizing, a lot of people would not say those were the good old days we ought to be trying to get back to with a workers' party?
Occasionally, I challenged him, questioned the views that he had. A number of reviewers said, well, you didn't ask questions that were hard enough, and you didn't ask hard enough questions often enough.
What do you think of that criticism?
I don't agree. This is not about asking difficult questions.
But why isn't it? I really want to hear from you on that, because he is so seductive. He is so seductive that if you don't ask him difficult questions, it would be very easy for him to put out a message that is unchallenged and well-packaged.
I call him a racist. I tell him that I believe he's insane.
You do. You tell him you think he's crazy. But when you call him a racist, what was interesting to me is he never answers you. Did he never answer you, or did you just not show the part? He says, you think I'm racist, and you say yes, and then that's it. He never says anything.
He has a whole number of techniques at his disposal. I've seen a lot of interviews with Stephen K. Bannon. Too many. They've probably done some kind of consequent brain damage. He goes into a filibuster mode. He will bore you to death the stump speech, if you like. The movies, for me, was a way of getting around that to something different. If I had wanted to do a straight adversarial interview, I suppose I could. It's not my style. I've seen many adversarial interviews with Steve Bannon that produce nothing.
Does he win him?
No, he doesn't win him. He bores the pants off of you. You learn nothing. Okay, I'm interested in learning stuff.
What do you want the viewer to learn from this movie?
I want them to embrace and think about some of the ironies here. That some of the most beloved American movies, beloved by me, I might add, John Ford in particular.
You had Orson Welles, you had Stanley Kubrick.
There's a lot of stuff in there. It scared me to think that movies are, I don't know what the exact word is. They accommodate everything. They're strangely fungible. May not be the right word, but I'll use it anyway. You can apply any interpretation you like. And for Bannon, his use of dharma, his use of destiny, his use of duty, it really frightened me. Because I thought, here is an ideology that justifies everything and anything. All you have to do is say, well, it's my dharma to do this. It's my duty to do this. It's my destiny to do this. And then everything else falls away. There he is, just before the second debate with Hillary Clinton, ordering people either get on the campaign plane or you're off the campaign.
I think Chris Christie was one of the people he said that to.
It's a do or die mission, just like General Savage describes to his troops in 12 O'Clock High. If I made one mistake, and I probably made many, many, many mistakes in making this movie, assuming that people were familiar with these movies, they would see the connection between the Quonset hut where I filmed Bannon. It's something that I built, I constructed, that absolutely mimics the Quonset hut in 12 O'Clock High.
At first, I thought maybe you'd actually gotten the same set.
Nope. Had to build it. But there you go. There's a metaphor, if you like, at the heart of this. It's a man's dream of being a hero in a Hollywood movie, a 1940s Hollywood movie, celebrating our fight against Nazi Germany. What could possibly, now I'm speaking as the filmmaker, what could possibly, for me, be more ironic?
So that makes me think, and I hadn't had this thought until just this moment. Is it possible that somebody so sure of their dharma, their duty, their destiny, and so willing to use total political war or other forms of coercion to get it cannot be challenged with subtlety or irony? Is it possible? And I have to be honest, I hope the answer is no, but is it possible that one has to do direct conflict, do direct debate, or the irony gets drowned, or the subtlety, the art of it gets drowned in the sheer force of the other person's, you know, he's a smart, seductive, driven, singularly focused man. Do you understand what I'm...
I understand completely what you're saying, and I agree with it in part. Should we be scared of this man? You betcha. Should we be looking at this man and thinking about this man? The fact that he scared you is good. People have talked about this trilogy of films that I made, a film about Robert S. McNamara,
Fog of War.
A film about Donald Rumsfeld, and now a film about Stephen Bannon. One thing that changed, and it's quite interesting to me, with McNamara, years and years and years had passed since the Vietnam War. I was interviewing him in the 90s. The war was over in the 70s. When I interviewed Donald Rumsfeld, the Iraq War was not that far behind us, much closer to us. And there was considerable anger about both of those films, more about Rumsfeld, because I think we were closer. Not I think we were closer. We were closer to another one of the worst debacles in American history, a debacle that is continuing to affect us. And then Bannon. And the difference here, quite clearly, is we're still in the thick of it. Nothing's over. We're in the middle. America is in the middle of one of the worst nightmares in our history. Should I have not made the movie because of that? Too subtle, too ironic, too whatever? I don't know. Am I to be condemned for too much subtlety, for too much irony? Why not?
So
I can take
next?
It. I can take it. I like to think of myself as a filmmaker. I'm making these films, of course, for other people, but I'm also making them for myself. I'm trying to think about the issues, thinking about what went into this campaign. We all want to pretend that he isn't there, that this isn't really happening, that this is some kind of a strange nightmare and that we'll all wake up. But I think it's a nightmare that we have to deal with it, and I tried to deal with it in my own way. I tried to make people think about it. If I was unsuccessful, okay, I'm sorry.
That's filmmaker Errol Morris. American Dharma will be screening at the Brattle Theater through Thursday. Errol, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me on today.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Tiziana Deering. We'll be on again tonight at 7 for live coverage of Mayor Marty Walsh's State of the City address, and then join us again tomorrow at 3 for an all-new Radio Boston.